The rosary is not a shallow prayer. It's not even an easy one. But it is one that is a protection. It's your whole faith in the pocket. And more than that, it gives you supernatural vision. Can I put it that way? Yes. It gives you a supernatural view of the world around you. And makes you, enables you to identify the insidious deceptions of the world, the flesh, the devil. It does that without fail, even if it is said imperfectly. No one prays the rosary without some prophet. No one. It's just not known. It is a remedy against errors of sensuality, of greed, and so on. It puts you in touch with the divine and gives you the ability to see through all the pitfalls of life. The rosary does that too. It also comforts and aids you in the living of your life. Do you know, I've told you many times, that the rosary is fundamentally a prayer to our blessed Lord. People make a mistake and think that the rosary is a prayer to the Virgin Mary. It's not. It's a prayer to Christ, the Son of God. But it is a prayer that invokes the assistance of the Holy Mother of God. It honors her, therefore. That's why the garland she placed on her head. It honors her. It gives tribute to her. But it is also a plea that people who say it, who pray it, would invoke the assistance of the Virgin Mary. So I've told you, it's like putting your hand on the bosom mother's hand and asking her to lead you. It's like seeing with her eyes the mysteries of faith, loving with her heart. That's the rosary. I've never put it this way to you, but I'm going to now. Do you know what it's like? That's the reason why St. Dominic, who was given the Holy Rosary by the Blessed Virgin with the remark, "Someday I will save the world through the rosary." That's what she said. "Someday I will save the world through the rosary." St. Dominic used it as a preaching device. And so he would gather these people who have fallen away from the faith, Albigensians in those days, or the Cathari, they were called as well. They're called Albigensians because their town in France, they centered on, was Albi. And so he would be a street preacher. And he would speak about the mysteries of faith. And after this brief talk, see, and a series of them, "All right, people, let us now ask, you see, our Lord for help. Let us invoke the Virgin Mary's assistance." So he would say 10 Hail Marys. And that's how the rosary was first used. I say that because that device, that method is still used. I've said to you that the rosary is best prayed in solitude, although it is highly adapted to communal prayer. But do you know what's going on when you pray the Holy Rosary? The Virgin Mary is preaching to you. That's what she's doing. She's informing you, informing your mind of the mysteries of faith as she knew them, as she experienced them, as she was part of them. That's what happens when you pray the rosary. And so we have now, through the influence, by the way, of a famous Carthusian, whose name I will mention or explain about him, we have these 15 decades, or the chaplet, as you put in your pocket, see, a tiny rosary, not the full one. And so it is divided into three sections, as you know. See. the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, all of which she was a part of. And in fact, she was instrumental in having them happen. Why? Because first of all, and this is a bit of a digression, but relevant. First of all, because her greatest and most sublime title is Mother of God. All the privileges that she was given in her life, and they are many, are all founded and based on that one gift that she did not merit, to be the Virgin Mother of God. And that implies, therefore, her unique relationship to you, her maternal care of you, all of us. She expressed it best, and it was increased in her most when our Lord died on the cross. So our Lord says to his mother, "Behold your son," that's you. And that explains the care that she has. With that in mind, she visits earth frequently, has a unique relationship to all, and now in the vision of God that she enjoys, body and soul in heaven, she has a knowledge of each of you, second only to God, higher than the angels, the Blessed Virgin, higher than the angels, whose nature is way above our own, the gifts that were given to her. People have gone to her always. One of the most insidious attacks that people and the Christian world have experienced is the view that the Virgin Mary is needless, that she is a distraction, that she takes away from God. It's the opposite. She leads us to our Lord. She aids us. And in the rosary, she teaches us. And you know what else? She gives us a supernatural vision of the meaning of the mysteries of faith. And so when you pray, you see the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Do you know what is given to you? Not just the knowledge, maybe a little deeper, maybe a little wider, if you like, of these events in our Lord's life, from the Annunciation, when our Lord began to live in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and so on. But she gives you more than that. She gives you, the way they put it in theology, eternal life promised. And with that, she creates in you, you see, a desire for heaven, for all those things that God has promised, eternal life promised. And in the sorrowful mysteries, we are given, you see, an appreciation and even an experience for those who pray it devoutly, who know how to pray the rosary, and many don't. So it is our goal to teach you how to pray the rosary with fruit. We get an appreciation, you see, of eternal life won and all that it cost our Lord. You are given an experience of his sufferings, his pains, his agony, that you may commiserate, that you may share in them. And isn't that really one of the great goals of offering the Holy Mass? And when the passion and death of the Savior is extended, renewed, relived, represented on the altar? And lastly, eternal life in the glorious mysteries, eternal life possessed. Not only in heaven, but for those who are our Lord's friends, the beginning of the joys of heaven are found in seed here, through the sacraments, through the Holy Eucharist, through our union with in the course of our daily lives. And we receive a foretaste of the joys of heaven that no one can take from us, that give us the courage, the strength, the will to persevere because of what is yet in store for us. That we are already beginning the joy of the saints. That's all given in the Holy Rosary. And in these days, when people are taken away, as they were in the dawn of the modern age, from the force, the impact, the influence of the holy faith in our lives because of secularism, of worldliness, of greed, of the need to work and work and work in order to sustain our lives and well-being. And so people are being pulled away from the thoughts, from the goal in mind, our salvation, heaven. What is it that is the chain, if you like, that pull that keeps us on the journey to heaven? It is the Holy Rosary. And that's what the Rosary is. Eternal life promised, eternal life won, eternal life possessed. All of that is given to you in this beautiful prayer. And more than that, well, at least for now, it is the perfect disposition. If you're having trouble to pray, if mental prayer is difficult for you, let me assure you that an easy way of achieving a lofty mental prayer is the Holy Rosary. Particularly in the consideration of the mysteries about which people, you see, do not pray well, do not understand, don't have to rest in them. With it, and with it prayed correctly and intelligently, if I mean by that, you see, with the right understanding of the spirit of the Holy Rosary, you are disposed to receive many lofty impulses. We say them as theology, they're called operating graces. Gratia operans, it's called. Which dispose you, which gives you the insight, well, to what we call infused contemplation. A supernatural prayer that we cannot perform of ourselves. It is a gift from heaven. It's the prayer of the saints. The Rosary disposes you for that, in which you receive, you see, an impression, a sense of the divine presence within, in the context of the mysteries. Lofty, as if you begin to taste these mysteries. This is what the Virgin Mary does for you in this prayer we call the Holy Rosary, or the Garland of Roses. The Virgin Mary wears. Well, these are some of the thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. Ones that fill me with a great deal of gratitude, because this prayer, with the aid of the Virgin Mary, is one that saves from the worst of all sins. Not sensuality, but pride. Pride in its worst forms, intellectual pride, that treats people as if they're nothing but peons, looks down on the lowly, aspires to greatness that is vain in all its forms. The humble Virgin, Queen of all saints, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, to whom we ask that she be the instrument of, you see, of understanding and experience of the mysteries of faith, you see, as the prayer goes, that we imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise, through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's the Holy Rosary, at least a little bit of a summary. And I'm hoping that maybe today you might begin to pray the Rosary in a different way, in a way of trust, a way of faith, a way of love.